This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
November 9th, 2019. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. I appreciate you joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org. You may visit my website, at spingola.com, where you can have access to the radio schedule page. Just click the radio schedule button on the left, and if you wish to ask questions or make comments during the program, email comment at spingola.email. That is comment at spingola.email. I only answer that email address 3 hours a week during the program. You can join others in the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. The archives for this program may be found at SpingolaSpeaks.net and RepublicBroadcasting.org. And it's very important if you want to re-listen to the program. Those are the two places that I recommend that you do it at. My guest the first 2 hours today is Robert Strock. He is the author of Awareness That Heals, Bringing Heart and Wisdom to Life's Challenges. His main website is awarenessthatheals.org. He also has the other one, theglobalbridge.org. Dr. Robert, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the program. At your website, I'm very interested in the things that you have there, awarenessthatheals.org. You have guided meditations, which I think are just really wonderful, wonderful things. And there's one for, most of the chapters in the book. And I really do think that meditation is a very important thing, particularly, it just helps you to become aware. And I started meditating, over a year ago, and you don't realize... A person does not realize how uninvolved they are with their feelings and their own awareness until they stop all of the outside influences and really become aware of who and where they're going.
Well, it would be hard to argue with that. I've been meditating for probably 50 years, 70. So I got off to an early start, and I think meditation is certainly a key element of getting a perspective from the way we're just shot out of the cannon in our culture as to how we believe is going to make us happy, make us fulfilled, inspired.
It is amazing that, every evening, I used to have the TV on, and even though I wasn't watching it, it was just noise. And instead of having the TV on for the last 2 hours before I go to bed, I play very nice, soothing music, and it's just made so much difference in the way that I feel. And I listen to some guided meditations, and it's just, if you listen to all of the drama on TV, especially the news, it's all bad. It's all delivered as if it were just groundbreaking. All the stations say the same thing, and it's kind of alarming. It makes you it takes you away from yourself, and it's just not very helpful as far as being aware of your own feelings and being able to excuse me, being able to become aware of what your goals are, where you're going, who you are, sometimes I think that people aren't even aware of their feelings. What you talk about in the first chapter of your book is that you're not even aware of your unawareness. We just seem to exist with a lot of static noise around us.
Yeah, I try very hard to stay with the affirmative, which is that it's really important to be aware that we're all unaware, and start with a little bit of humility as we try to expand our awareness, and then gradually move it from a place of realizing that most of us have what I would call fleeting awareness, where we have moments or insights about what would be a more fulfilling life when we're angry and we're dumping it on somebody, and it's not going to be helpful when we're insecure, but we're not going to tell anybody. When we're anxious and we're embarrassed about it. And then the key thing being bringing a part of us that wants to care for ourselves and others while we feel and stay aware of what we're feeling. Now, that may or may not sound simple, but imagine yourself feeling afraid or angry, and at that same time, you have the presence to take a few beats, or if you're in a situation, several minutes or an hour or two, and really ask, how can I care for myself and those that are involved here while I'm afraid not to fix it, but to coexist with it as a process? Because I think that the idea of fixing things is overwhelmingly overrated, whereas the reality of being aware of being human in these states and these feelings is so important. But equally important is, how do we take care of ourselves when we're afraid, when we're angry, or we're hurt, we're injured, we feel rejected? So that simultaneity of being aware of our feelings or feelings, and being really interested in wanting to care, is really what the first chapter of the book's about. And then the next seven are practical, different strategies to care for ourselves and those that we love, and hopefully even beyond those that we love, to be able to zero into that.
And these are very interesting concepts, in that prior to my meditating and really trying to figure out what my feelings were, I think that certain feelings get locked into our bodies and we're just existing without being aware that some of those feelings can be very unhealthy and can cause illnesses for us, can cause lifelong illness, can lead to various illnesses that we could avoid. For instance, anger. If somebody is always, always angry and never recognizing that, it could destroy them in a more physical way because of the illnesses that can occur with a person who is consistently angry, or just on the opposite side, or a person who lives in constant fear. Those feelings get locked into your body, and your body remembers those feelings. Your mind might not be aware, but your body is. Your body has memory. And for instance, if you forget a password or if you forget a phone number, all you have to do is go to the phone and your body will remember the password, or it will remember the phone number. Because your body does have a memory. And I think that those feelings that we may have can be very destructive unless we meet them and figure out how to become aware of them and take care of us. And by taking care of negative feelings, we're taking care of us. Am I correct?
Yeah, and hopefully others as well. And one of the things that I've done in the book is identify 75 challenging feelings to help be a bit more literate for all of us to be able to see, gee, I don't know what I feel. I know I don't feel good, but what is it? And when you see the 75 feelings, not to in any way portray that there are only 75 feelings, but it's a good start. And then on the other end, in addition to an emotional suffering literacy, there's another chart that is identifying 75 compassionate or healthy or healing qualities or actions that can help take care of us. So being able to have a resource, which frankly, it's sad that it's not in our kindergarten, let alone high school or college, that there's just a simple identification with a number of feelings and a simple identification with a number of qualities that are the ones that really help us. And if we can start to identify these feelings clearly, which with the help of a roadmap, it's not even a roadmap, it's really just single words that are all obvious once you see them on a page. And then ask yourself, well, what is it I really need to help take care of myself and or those that are involved in the situation that my feelings are connected to? When you start to get into a rhythm, kind of like being in a rhythm of meditation, or let's say a practice of meditation, or practice of inquiry, of asking yourself, given I feel this one of the 75, which ones of the other 75 are the needs or the qualities or the healing, the essential ways to care for myself, which ones of these would be most helpful? And then what are the strategies to move me in that direction? And it's very important that, I believe it's very important that people look for healing directions that they're committed to and not for erasers. Like, oh, okay, got that one fixed. But be able to really be devoted to say, you know, I like to be aware of myself. It's not very esoteric. It's just a simple, pragmatic, maybe not simple, but let's say simple to understand, pragmatic way of saying, oh, this is what I'm feeling. And these are the kinds of directions I'd need to move And like any part of life, if we're committed to it, we're going to be able to develop. But it's not going to happen as a gift of being born or getting an education or even being successful in the world. It requires personal awareness, and it requires finding a place inside you that wants to care, and then implement the wanting to care in hopefully a very realistic, what's possible the next hour, today, this week, not some abstract philosophical approach that is not reachable in the near future, which is bound to discourage one if one doesn't feel like they have a chance. So I oftentimes mention that kindergartners would be in a better place to understand the majority of the book if the words were made slightly simpler, but not much, because they didn't lose touch with things like tone of voice, or they know when they're mad. You know, they know when they're coming up to their mom, whether their mom is going to give them a hug or is going to freeze them out in some way. As adults, we tend to be losing touch with our feelings. We tend to be losing touch with our tones of voice. And we tend to be losing touch with the simple ways that we can feel better.
Exactly. And you identify, and people can look at this list. You have on your website awarenessatheals.org/introspective guides, where people can view those feelings. And honestly, we just really don't recognize. Most people do not, do not recognize feelings beyond the regular feelings like anger and you've just expanded everything so that it opens people up to other ideas that they quite possibly have never held before. And you just gave an example of a mother, and these guides, they're just amazing. Who knew that we had that many feelings?
Yeah.
But each of those feelings are real, and it's just amazing how you have expanded things to catch everybody. I'm really impressed with the list that you have, and I just posted the link to those guides in the chat room for those who would like to see them. They're very impressive, and you have things there that I simply would not have even thought about.
Yeah, and yet I'm guessing in your momentary awareness, you've probably been aware of all of them, and you know, it, for a flashpoint.
Right.
And it's important, you know, that the whole motive of the book is nonprofit. It's connected to the foundation that we have. That the guides on the site are free. The guided meditations are free. So I'm not here trying to sell a book. I'd be happy if people wanted to buy the book, but the main thing is our world is profoundly suffering. Our country is profoundly suffering. And if whatever any of us can do in being resourceful on a personal level to find a greater caring, the better.
Absolutely. Alrighty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Bye. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea. And YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, this is Deanna. And I am back with my guest today for the first 2 hours, Robert Strock. He is the author of Awareness That Heals, Bringing Heart and Wisdom to Life's Challenges. I'd like to make you aware of the foundation that he mentioned, and one may view the foundation, information about the foundation at theglobalbridge.org, and his website that talks about awareness that heals is awarenessthatheals.org. And it's very obvious to me that you care a great deal about people, and that, as you said, you're not in this to make money, but rather to assist people to feel better about themselves and each other. And this foundation is, it looks like it is doing some really wonderful work. After all, we all live on the planet, and certainly we need to be not destroying it, but to be helping others. And I can certainly see that that is your goal, and I think it's really remarkable, just really remarkable.
Thank you for that. It seemed almost remarkable that it isn't the norm. That we all, especially at this time when it's become obvious that we're imperiled as a country and as a world with global warming and with the politics being as crazy as they are right now. And even before that, just war itself, all the things that every generation has faced where things don't quite work. And that leaves us in a feeling state. It leaves us in a place that maybe we feel helpless, maybe we feel scared, maybe we feel frustrated. And being able to start in that personal way and knowing that we want to care is that universal principle. It doesn't matter what language we're starting from. It doesn't matter what country we're starting from. And if we don't find that place that wants to care and we're just simply either consciously or unconsciously emotionally reactive in a negative way, then we're hurting ourselves. As you said, it's reinforcing illnesses, it's reinforcing suffering in ourselves and everyone else around us. And so it seems like if we can, again, as you mentioned with meditation, if you have a little bit of space where you can have some reflection, wouldn't you rather care? Doesn't that seem like a pretty intuitively evident place that you'd like to care for yourself and learn how to implement that as much as possible today, this hour, the way you're thinking about it yourself, the tone of voice you're using, the people around you? And I don't mean it in a 0 to 100 we've arrived sense, but more wherever you're starting from is perfectly unchangeable. You start there, hopefully. You know, if we start where we are, we're as good as we can be. If we ignore where we are, then we're adding suffering to where we are. So the starting point is always where we are and being aware of it. And then hopefully knowing intuitively through practice that we want to bring caring to it. And that's it seems, again, it's like something I would have learned in kindergarten, but there wasn't any resource for it in school and religion and any of the institutions that we faced. That was not a learning ground. So the idea really is in the site and the foundation is to start with that basic principle. Like in the foundation, we're aware of what we feel, which most foundations feel like, gee, there's global warming, or there's illness, or there's threat of nuclear war, or any of the number of things that are there. That scares me. Well, how can I help? And then the foundation makes its mission statement, and they do their best to help. That's a good example of the same principle in the book that's focusing more on the inner world. But I'm also focusing equally in the outer world in something I call psychopolitics.
And right.
So that's a whole other realm that's as focused in the outer world as it is in the inner world. In fact, the majority of my time right now is liaising with other foundations that are doing great work. And they clearly care. They clearly are aware. Let's say their caring is more obvious that that's there. Whether they're aware of what they feel or not isn't always the case. But they're shot out of a cannon to say, how can I help the ocean? How can I help the air? How can I help the rivers? How can I help the world have a better chance to survive? So this idea of starting where you are and then finding a place that wants to care and that can care is equally true to the inner world as the outer world.
Right. And it just, it seems like politics is all about, I'm very anti-war. I don't think that we were placed upon the earth to kill each other. I just think that if you harm one group of people, you're really detracting from yourself. So it's just like we're harming a part of our body if we go in and attack a nation and slaughter people and slaughter their or destroy their culture and artifacts. And it just seems so, it's just awful. I just think it's really, really terrible. And I do believe that we were placed on the earth to see how we would interact with each other. And the political machinery that goes on that collaborates in these wars where millions of people are displaced or slaughtered is just profoundly terrible.
Yeah.
And ill-conceived and so unnecessary. It's like destroying your arm without or another part of your body. It's just, to me, it's inconceivable that people who are supposedly nice people or Christians, quote unquote, would behave in such a manner.
I left a couple nights ago. I went to a gathering with the International Medical Corps, which is a group we've been partnering with for a dozen years, every year, and they go to the worst crises in the world on a regular basis. 7,000 doctors that whether it's in Somalia or Sudan or Pakistan or Afghanistan or whichever country, whatever hurricane has just wiped out Puerto Rico or any worst tragedy where death is happening, either through man's actions or nature's, let's say, tragedies, being devoted to put their own lives at risk, like the military, not always for the same completely justified cause, but still heroically. When anyone puts their life on the line, I spent half the time there crying, not primarily out of grief, but primarily out of feeling like these are the people that I so naturally am moved and touched by, that they're devoting their lives in a way that puts their lives at risk. And there are many, many people who are doing that in the world, and it's going to require that to probably be 100 times stronger over the next 50 years from at least the reports that I see and most of us see in the primary news that seems to be agreed upon throughout the world, just to do with global warming, to say nothing of nuclear war or terrorism. And so each of us has a chance to face that and to see what little things we can do. It doesn't have to be big things, whether it's recycling or whether it's helping being friendly to a homeless person, or whether it's even though it's intuitively obvious, it isn't actionable on a regular basis. Success is more important than caring in most cultures, and somehow we need to balance that out. There's nothing wrong with success as long as it's not completely narcissistic success. But there's a lot wrong with, or a lot dangerous with, anything that is devoid of caring. And as you're saying, the horrors of war are unfathomable. And the closer you come to vets or people that have been in the war, or if you've been in the war yourself, it's totally indescribable. I mean, it's so graphically nauseating and incredulous. And how could any two people want to kill each other?
Right.
It's one thing. The only time I could ever identify with it was if you truly have a Hitler and they're going to have a gun pointed at you and you want to protect yourself. Okay, fair enough. But if you have these gray areas, which is what most of what we're facing is, how to not want to solve it on a level of diplomatic strategy or communication to best capacity and boundaries and sanctions and whatever needs to be done. But the idea of actually putting lives underground and killing people is the basis of the human side, and is obviously not dwelled in. How do I care for this population that's not like ours? One of the things that I believe is so important, and for those that have watched Game of Thrones, they had a couple of lines a couple of weeks in a row that got to the principle of, I will not blame good people whose parents or father were evil people. I will not blame the good people and carry the history forever and keep battling and fighting with countries that had that history. I'm going to attempt to be present enough with leaders of the world to face the challenges that we're facing together now, and not say, oh, you killed my... In the show, they were talking about, and we saw it earlier seasons, the populations being slaughtered mercilessly, and yet these leaders rose to the level of seeing, if we carry this on our backs forever, destructiveness is going to bring us all down.
Right.
If we don't have that, let's say, enlightened mind, at least to the degree of, we can't keep carrying anger just because our fathers and grandfathers and their grandfathers had that history. We've got to take a fresh look at, what are we facing in the world now as individuals and as leaders? We can't blame our leaders for the vast majority of what's happened, because we need to vote. We need to participate. We need to recognize, unless we're in a complete survival struggle ourselves and we have to put all of our energy into survival, for those of us that are not in that situation, activating that place that wants to care, seeing how we can interface with those that we know, seeing how we can expand groups, seeing how we can find organizations that we might want to support, seeing how we can organize our lives through that caring, is just gold. It's the real gold. The other gold is fine, but it's, I'm not sure it's fool's gold, but it's semi-fool's gold.
Right. Yes, it is an amazing thing. Your charts are so amazing. It just never previously occurred to me, all the different feelings. And as you mentioned, you've been looking at this for 50 years. And I should have been looking at these kinds of things and becoming aware, but there's so much going on outside of ourselves. All the clutter and clatter and noise that goes on. Okay, I gave an example. I said, even though I don't necessarily watch TV, I just have it on. Why have it on? You think that you're not paying any attention to it, then if you're not paying any attention to it, then you probably should not have it on. But just have some quiet time. And I know that with all of the social media and all of the other things that people are engaged in, it seems that despite the fact that people are out there and befriending a lot of people that they probably will never see and never really be friends with, I think that we really need to be friends with ourselves first and evaluate where we're coming from and just figure ourselves out first and turn off the white noise and really consider what kind of a human being can I be? Where are my priorities? How can I assist others if I don't even know how to be with myself, how to react to others? And you have such a lengthy list of these feelings that we might have that I just never thought about before.
Sure. I mean, for example, when you say something like, I should have taken a look at this before, I think one of the most important things is bringing a lot of support to yourself when you're even starting to look or you've been looking for a while, and just appreciate that you're looking. Because we can, let's say, for example, feel inadequate or ashamed, and that can be a bottomless quicksand. And then we'll say, well, I can't tolerate this because I'm already 40 years old and I haven't really looked, and so I don't want to look now. No, if anything, you deserve the most credit for the later you start. If you started younger, it was easier, more intuitive, and you had the advantage of getting some momentum. But if you have the courage to start at any age, and maybe at first you will feel embarrassed or ashamed or guilty or inadequate, but then you say, well, what can I do now? How can I really support myself to start from here? And have the courage and the precision to see what I'm feeling and to really look at which of these needs, which of these actions, which of these qualities could I possibly respond with realistically in the next day or two, or the next hour, or the next week, and take it in the present and the near future in as gentle a way as possible, so that you recognize you're not coming from guilt or pressure and pushing yourself to be a better person. You're going to a place that's softer in your core, that's more intuitive, that is a wanting. It's like one of the things I say to my clients. I've been a therapist for 47 years. One of the things I say to my clients is when they become aware of something, they almost always will say, gee, I should, so you think I should do this? And my reframe of that, my restating that in a different way is, you get a chance to do that. You know, this is a gift. This is your smarts showing up, and you get to give yourself this rather than impale yourself with guilt or more inadequacy or more sounds or more entertainment that really was taking you in a direction you didn't really want to go, but you didn't really, in a sense, deeply know any better. You might have superficially, in a fleeting sort of way, known better. So forgiveness and acceptance and even tolerance of wherever you've been in the past as never being a disqualifier for starting now.
Right. Start from where you're at. Right. Given that that the number of news entities has been reduced over the last, well, since the Reagan era, from 87 different networks, different news networks, different news entities, down to 5. I think that we have to ask ourselves, is everything that we hear on these news programs the truth, or are these things just broadcast out to engender or to initiate or create fear in something that isn't really true? Are there crises that are developed or created in order to make us fear what is going on, when perhaps what is going on is a natural phenomenon, or perhaps it isn't even in existence at all?
Yeah. I mean, there are so many news sources that are reinforcing conspiracies and completely fictitious so-called facts or stories. And then there are some very noble, courageous, moving sources of news. Not many, but some. And I think that being able to suss out and cross-corroborate with combination of Google and good news sources like yours and sources that really are more oriented toward what can be done to allow our democracy to work, what can be done to allow our world to work. If you're inclined in any direction, going on and looking up foundations that are close to your heart, close to something that would move you, maybe close geographically to you, or capable of supporting them at a distance. I think we all have a possibility. I know we all have a possibility of, once we drop into our experience, if we listen carefully enough, if we're sad, we want to be happy. If we're frightened, we want to be courageous. If we're angry, down deep, this is more subtle, we do want to find a way of being peaceful with the other person as well. That's more complicated because anger oftentimes thinks it just wants to strike out. And at first glance, anger does want to strike out. At second glance, there is a need that was violated that made us angry in the first place. And if we can discover what that need is, if someone treated us hostily and we're angry back, then the need was we wanted to be treated more kindly or with more consideration or with better communication. And if we can go for the need rather than against what we don't like, we can find that place that is going to be more beneficial. And there are networks that have more of a tendency to be looking at what's the next move that could possibly make it a saner world. And there are obviously networks that are the opposite of that, that are constantly fear-based or anger-based, destructively based. And so it's very, very important to be discerning. Does this feel like it's just riling me up? Or is it trying to support me to mobilize, to be caring in some way? And to ask ourselves that question when we're not only watching news, but watching a movie. If it moves us in a way that's going to help us in some way be more aware and a more sensitive human being, great. It's true with athletics as well. We can participate in any aspect of life and have it be blindly competitive or blindly anything. Or we can try to do our best. One of the mottos that I like best is, are you making your best efforts to take care of yourself and those you care about? And at times it's only yourself. If you're playing a sport, maybe you're playing your best, you're concentrating, but you're also not getting so competitive that you're becoming a negative force with those around you or inside yourself, that you're just trying to focus that and steer that competition in a healthy way. But newscasts, you really have to listen. And really another way of saying it is you get to listen to see whether or not, is this really something that's just going to sink my ship or scare the hell out of me or just make me angrier? Or is this something that maybe will help reinforce what I really need?
Interesting. All righty, we are going to a commercial break and we'll pick this up on the other side. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check. But there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
All righty, we are back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Robert Strock. Is the author of Awareness That Heals, Bringing Heart and Wisdom to Life's Challenges. The websites are awarenessthatheals.org and theglobalbridge.org. And previously you mentioned the movies, watching a good movie. And incrementally, we have seen the movies that have been feel-good movies turn into really violent movies, sexual or oriented movies, just really terrible movies that do not really inspire or do anything to us, but seem to be produced for a particular reason, which I can't think of why some of this stuff has come out. It certainly doesn't seem to engender any feelings of a positive nature.
Yes. Well, I mean, unfortunately, because from early upbringing, most of us are oriented toward excitement and not connection. One of the things that's understood by a portion of psychology is that if you're very connected to your usually mother or primary caregiver, that increases the chances that you will be pursuing connection in your world as it goes out. But if you miss that, then the number one, let's say, substitute for that is excitement. And so excitement starts to be everything from bombs blasting to fights to struggles, going off into relief of fantasy. And if, on the other hand, even if you intuitively understand connection as being something desirable, you look at a moment when you felt most connected to the one you love. Maybe you're making love. Maybe you were holding your child. Maybe you were having a best friend moment. Maybe somebody in your family and you were really there for each other. That principle of connection is something very simple, but yet very profound. So I think when you're talking about movies or television series, entertainment, music, there are ways in which all of those things can foster connection and can kind of improve our radar when we understand, you know, connection being one of those 75 qualities that I have in the list that are really going to be healing. And that those kinds of things, just even understanding, well, what kind of qualities do I want to bring in my life so that I have a better chance of being content, happy, fulfilled, inspired, motivated, looking forward to getting up in the morning? What's it going to take? And again, it's never too late. You know, I'm hoping that your listeners would never feel disqualified.
Right. All righty, we are at the top of the hour. We will be right back with our guest and maybe take some calls. We'll be right back.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening.